come here to disturb your silence. Even though you sit very quiet, I can see many things that's happening inside. It's not so easy to be silent, just to sit still. This stillness, this silence of your being, of your heart, it doesn't come cheap, no? There's no shortcuts. You have to investigate yourself. You have to go deeper than your mind, your ego, your personalities, your thoughts, your ideas. Even though you sit silently, I can see much frustration, anger, jealousy, competition, all these ghosts that you're carrying with you. So first thing, you have to be very clear that you want to be free. You have to go deeper than your mind. So I remind you from the very beginning, get out of it now. Go deeper. You will never find what you are looking for in the mind. You have to be ready to go deeper into yourself. Not only swimming on the surface and trying to survive. You have to be ready to drown. So, when you are here now, you are so used to being occupied in your mind, and now the whole focus is to go deeper, so put your attention more on your body, on your heartbeat, on your breathing, on your relaxation. Checking if you are comfortable when you are sitting, when you are walking, when you are eating. Check if you are relaxed. Check if your breathing is going naturally. If you are in tune with life, with existence, then everything happens spontaneously, easy. It's nothing you have to do. You, as an idea, can just step out of the way. Everything is relaxed except this you. But you are carrying so much ideas and tensions in your physical body, in your emotional body, in your mental body. This is what you first have to see and be ready to let go of, so you can go deeper, so you can find that peace, at easeness, relaxation, stillness that you are longing for. So I will remind you, don't get stuck on the surface. Allow yourself to explore deeper into that which is unexplored. I will read you a little Zen story. Hayakuju had a unique way of guiding his disciples, his monks. From the morning till the night, he kept on saying, "Work for me in the field. Just work, and I will teach for you." He thus made his disciple work in the field and all around, all the time. But he did not seem to be prepared to give any lecture or discourse or sermons. Finally, the monks, not able to stand it any longer, went to the master and asked him, "Master, would you please be gracious enough to give us a sermon?" The master's unwavering reply was, "Work for me in the field, and I will teach for you." Several days, weeks passed, and the impatient disciples and monks went to the master again and said, "Please, please give us a sermon. Say something to us." This time, he quite readily agreed to do so. After a while, all the monks gathered together in the hall. The master quietly appeared before them, walked up to his seat, and spread out both his arms, and without a word, immediately returned to his room. All real masters just want to stop there. But the problem is, if you first have gone into this master role, it's impossible. Because you only understand language. And truth is not in the language. But all the masters has to talk, so maybe one day you will come closer and you will understand the language which is beyond language. That is what I call the language of the heart, of the being. If that has happened, then there is no more misunderstandings. Then you can be together in silence and enjoy the silence. Because two hearts beat in harmony. That can never happen if you only know language, words, the mind, ideas. And that's how all people, they come together. That's what this world called love. They just come together, different ideas. But they only see the surface. They only see the circumference. Very few people go deeper. Because you cannot go deeper if you haven't experienced the depth of your own being, of your own heart. So everything will be misunderstood. Because just once in a while you meet by chance, but it's not steady. That which is steady comes from the depth. And when you are shallow, only knowing the surface, you cannot open because you are afraid to open. Because you don't know who you are. And that is the magic of love. If you really love, then in spite of yourself, in that love you can open, you can trust, you can flower, you can listen, you can be receptive. That magic can never happen without the trust, without the love, without the understanding, the deep acceptance that this is how it is. I have to get out of my own way. So that's why all these masters has to go on talking. And all the disciples just ask, please teach us, please say something. One more satsang. Hayakuju had a unique way of guiding his monks. From morning till night, he kept on saying, just work for me in the field. Or in the kitchen, or wherever. Just do something, be occupied, and then I will teach you. He thus made his disciple work in the field all the time, but he did not seem to be prepared to give any lectures or say anything or any sermons. Finally, his monks, not able to stand it any longer, went to the master and asked. And remember also, in whatever way it happens, the master has to bring you to a point where you can't stand it any longer. That is a great point where you can't stand it any longer. You had enough. It means you had enough. No, you have to come out. In whatever way, and which way doesn't matter. What matters is that you are just standing up for where you are, your truth. The master tries in any way to get you stand up for yourself. Because in that situation, you start looking at yourself. You start acknowledging yourself where you are. With all your anger, with your jealousy, with your competition, with your impatience, whatever it is. Remember, the master will give you everything. So much bliss, so much beauty, so much peace, so much understanding. But if it's really going deep, he has to also show you all your ugliness, all your jealousy, all your anger. Because you have to look at yourself to go deep. So everything will come up. Because when you come, you are unconscious. You have come just full of ideas. Your own ideas, the ego ideas and spiritual ideas. All just dreams. Nothing to do with reality. And many times that will hurt. Hurt because you are attached. Hurt because you only know this way of thinking. And you will even get angry at the master. That is natural. You will try to fight. That is the way of the ego. The ego only knows fight. It only needs competition. It only knows judgments. So remember, the master will show you everything on both sides. Like Kyle Gibran says, if love beckons to you, if you are so lucky that love is knocking on your door, it will crown you, but first it will crucify you. And many people, just when this beautiful crucifixion of love starts happening, they run. Because they are so shallow, they don't really want to wake up. So the first taste of the fire, and they run. If this is understood, then no problem. But remember, that is only in the mind. If the connection is there in the spirit, in the heart, then whatever comes up, it doesn't matter, because your love, your connection is stronger. You remember something deeper. You have felt something deeper, and that will be your saving grace. Because you have felt something, and then whatever comes up, it can't take you away. It will come up, but maybe it can't get you involved. Finally, the monks, not able to stand it any longer, went to the master and asked, "Would you please, please be gracious enough to give us a sermon?" The master's unwavering reply was, "Work for me in the field and I will teach for you." And all masters have different ways. No, this higher Kodyu, he wanted to push them a little bit more. No, they start getting warm, but not much. It's like, oh, they can talk. They're saying what they really want now. They are not just taking me for granted. They start speaking. Very good. But they need to be more hot. So the only thing he said, go on working. This is also just to test the disciple, his monks. Because some people, they get fed up and they leave. And then this higher Kodyu is very happy. Because those who are left, they are those that is worth teaching to. Why even speak the truth to people who are just hung up in the ego? It's a waste of time in the ideas. Several days and weeks passed, and the impatient monks went to the master again and urged him, "Please, master, please give us a sermon." And this time, he quite readily agreed to do so. This is also just a hint how a real master is. He can say, no, no, impossible. And then one day, okay, fine. Very unpredictable. You can never put him in a box. You never know what's going to happen. No, no, never, he will say, never. I never do that. And then one day he will come to you and say, should we go now? And then you don't understand anything. No, you have already made up your idea. This is how he is. He doesn't want. He doesn't want to say anything. They try and try. No, okay, fine. Like nothing ever have happened. That's how it is, because they live in the moment. Who cares what happened? They respond to the moment. This time, he quite readily agreed to do so. After a while, when all the monks had gathered together in the temple hall, the master quietly appeared before them, walking up to his chair. Then he just spread out both his arms and without a word immediately returned to his room. They can be very frustrating, these masters. Can imagine what they have been waiting, maybe for months. And that bastard comes and just spread out his arms and goes home. But this is just a hint that the truth cannot be said. This in the Buddhist and Zen scriptures, and it's done in many, many different ways, but just this appearing for the disciple and leaving, or like Hayakuju, just spreading his arms and walking back to his room. It's called the greatest sermons, the greatest teachings, because nothing can be said. Like Lao Tzu says, the truth that can be said is not the truth, is not the Tao, because you can't say it. But still, they have to talk, because you only understand the language, the words. But remember, we talk to take you beyond the words. And such a beautiful sermon, just coming and just spreading his arms. That's what I do many times. I open just my chest, my heart, and then I just and some people understand, some people doesn't understand. It is totally open, available. Here we are, totally open, available. What more is there to say? If you feel, then you feel it, then you disappear into that space with the master. And that's the beautiful thing, they say, that enlightenment cannot be had without a living master. Because it's nothing to do with the teaching, you can't teach it, but some magical mystery can happen that you fall in tune. You fall in tune with the master. Then you get the taste, and then also you will be dumb. You can say anything, but you will smile. That is the sign that you've been eating honey. You smile. Because you've only been eating salty things, and then you eat honey, and then you are in awe. That's how it is. Blah, blah, blah. That's why I'm very happy when this. They don't care about the words. Just looking in the eyes and you understand. Just sitting silently together. And peace comes. That means now you are available, you are in tune. You fall in synchronicity. You get out of your own way. That's the easiest way. Thank you. Alicia?
Ja, ja. Ja?
You happy now? You've been cold when I was away. It's good to miss good things, this, you know. And people miss all kinds of stupid things, no? Huh? Very few people miss this, no? We humans are very strange. Many times we don't really know we miss something before we fall into it, no? Then you will, oh my God. Oh my God. Ah. This, you brought this letter from Tia? How is she doing? Good? And Eshal?
Very good.
Beloved Master, I just want to say that I miss you and love you. And also want to remind you, keep on molding me, please, with great affection and love, Tia. That is no problem to keep on molding you if you are available and soft and pliable, no? That's the thing. Your work is to be soft and pliable, then I will mold you into magical things. In India they say that one of the things for the master is like a potter. And you, if you're going to make something like a potter, any pottery, then you have to have the right consistency of the clay. And sometimes they have to go far away to find the right earth and then mix it with the water and just the right combination. Then you have it perfect. You can make beautiful things very easily when you have the skill. Huh? And the master has the skill, but he has to find the right clay. When you have the right clay, then it's very easy. Then it's just pure delight to mold you, to create something, because you are very pliable. And not only that, you know that you are there just for that. So it's a dance. Beloved Masters, well, many times the letters come into my mind, but they don't gather enough strength to reach you. This and that, everything passes. I'm here again for one more retreat, happy and grateful for that. Again in the pot, together with so many beautiful friends. I'm open to receive, to melt and love. Immense gratitude for being with you. Love and devotion, Devavi. You manage to come all the time, Devavi. Huh? How do you manage? You have money? Huh? Very good. Just enjoy. When you have made it available that you can come, and that's what you want, you know, then this is the gratitude and openness, that's all one needs. Then there's nothing to do, you just stay there. It reminds me, of one saying of Buddha. Maybe his most famous disciple was Ananda. He was always with Buddha. So many times he have these questions and this Ananda is there. And this thing, this conversation between Ananda and Buddha is very famous. The Venerable Ananda approached his master, Buddha, prostrated himself and sat down on one side. Sitting there, Ananda said to the Lord, "Half of this holy life, my Lord, is good and noble friends, companionship with the good, an association with the good." Do not say that, Ananda. Do not say that, Ananda. It is the whole. It is the whole of this holy life, this friendship, companionship, and association with the good. It is the whole. So you just relax with that. It's not the part like it is in the beginning. And it's not even half that Ananda says. He has realized how important it is. And he said, half of this holy life, my Lord, is good and noble friends. It means the fellow travelers and companionship with the good ones, association with the good. That means being with the master, satsang. That's what it means. The translation is no good because these people who translated it, they don't know about it. They don't know about this intimacy between the master and the disciple. They do as good as they can. They just say the good, but they don't know that satsang and the master goes far beyond the good. Far beyond the good. But then the Buddha answered him, do not say that, Ananda, do not say that. It is the whole of this holy life. It is everything of life. Don't hold back, dive into it. Be total, drawn in this. That is what Buddha is saying to Ananda. Now you have realized how important it is, how good it is. No, don't hold back. It's not a part, it's not half, it's everything. It can transform you. It is the whole of this holy life, this friendship, this companionship, and this association with the good, which is satsang, being with the master. It is the whole. Nothing compares to it. And if you have realized that, then you are safe. Many people, they just have it as one part. It's still their life. You have your life, your ideas, your ambitions, your dreams, your jealousies, your projections. Then it's always a struggle. Very few people see this. And even a man like Ananda, who is with Buddha, the whole time, like a caretaker, he realized that this is half. But Buddha puts him straight. No, you have had an insight. Don't hold back. It's everything. Be total. Go into it. It's not often this opportunity opens. No, the gates are open. Come. Don't be half-hearted. Be total. And even a disciple like Ananda needs reminders. Everybody needs reminders. Because the mind is so strong, again and again you forget. Again and again you get occupied with other things. Again and again you get lost. And again the master has to remind you. And the more open, the more available, the easier it is. It's very easy if it's total trust. If you follow that love, that trust, then he can say anything and you know it's just to help you. Is this the best? Even if you lose everything, you know. First the mind comes, oh my God, I have nothing. And then just one reminder. In reality, you have nothing anyway. But you have this. You have this friendship, you have this companionship, You have this intimacy, you have this love. Wake up. And then the trust goes deeper. And it's more easy to let go of things. More easy to let go of things from the past, more easy to let go of ideas of the future. More ideas, let go ideas about yourself. And more available for this. This what Buddha calls the holy life, the sacred life, the mystical life, which is there, always available, but you are always occupied. One thing is for sure, it's very cozy here, in the winter. You say there are many times letters come into my mind, but they don't gather enough strength to reach you. This and that, everything is passing. Let everything pass because it's not important. What's important is to be here. No, you have left many things. Leave all that which is familiar for a while. Just try something new. And come dance with me. I have caught this happy moon virus. Just last night I caught this happy moon virus when I was under the stars looking at the sun, at the moon. It is very contagious. So hug me, kiss me. It is very contagious. So come a little closer. Then see, you get the moon virus. The arrow my master shot has penetrated my heart. The wound of separation has appeared. I am infected with thirst. My focus does not wander. He has chained it with love. And when there is love, then the mind doesn't wander anymore. It's chained. Because it's real. So then you become steady. Nobody understands my needs. Nobody understands my aching. Nobody understands this in the world, because people are so occupied with all kinds of things. They don't understand the real. They don't understand love. They understand desire, greed, ambition. So she says, nobody understands my need. And I don't know what to do. My eyes are keep pouring. Beloved, I crave you day and night. Without you, my heart feels anxious. That means there is total commitment, focused, only one direction. is all the time on the path, on the razor's edge. It's not wavering this or that. That only happens when this arrow has penetrated your heart, when you have felt something. Otherwise, people are very unstable. My focus does not wander. And remember, the mind is very, very wandering. It's always restless. It's always here and there and everywhere. It's so many things in the world. And you have so many things to think about, that you have to find something that is deeper, that is higher, that is more real than anything that the mind can fabricate. When you have found that, then you are chained. Chained by love, something else. It means this love is much deeper than anything that the mind can come up with. Then you're going into a different reality, a different dimension in yourself. But sometimes it's a very thin line. Suddenly you are back in the mind. And then again, you feel the strength of the love, of the real, of truth. Become steady. Become still. Allow yourself to relax and go deeper. Aum Shanti. You are here. Realize it and allow yourself to go deeper.